This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm so glad that you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show. You know, our mission is to serve you with advice and information that empowers you so you make better financial decisions in your life. Today, I'm excited to tell you about a new movement in financial advice. If you're looking for a fiduciary to guide you in your investing and your finances and your planning for your future, a new method is emerging, teensy tiny, but it's a new option and it could save you potentially money, but that's not necessarily what it's about. And I want to talk about something else later that can cost you big money, and that's when you go to the dentist. I have some tips for you before you sign up for extensive and expensive dental work. So investing is going through a lot of evolution, almost to revolution, and how people invest their money. The reality is that investing used to be only for the rich. That was it. And if you weren't rich, there were very, very few options available to you, because even something like an individual stock trade, if you wanted to buy a stock, you would maybe pay $400 for a trade. In today's dollars, gosh, that might be $2,000 for an individual trade. It was only for big institutions and rich people. And so we've been through this transformation over time where today stock trades are essentially free if you go to one of the discounters. Free. I mean, that's amazing. You buy and sell for nothing. We've got all these low-cost investments that I love, the exchange-traded funds, the index funds, and yet there's still a lot of people in the business clinging to old models, old methods. And I don't need to dwell on how much I don't want you going to an insurance company to ever handle investments for you, because their business model is all about not doing what's in your best interest. They will not enter into a fiduciary arrangement with you where they are legally required to do what's in your best interest. They charge big upfront commissions or ongoing commissions, and then they charge high fees for whatever they put you in. And then the bank-based brokerage operations, not as bad on the curve as the insurance companies, in my opinion, but they're on that edge of the curve. And then you start moving to the other side of the ledger, and you've got these fee-only planners that the base model that the industry's adopted is 1% of the amount of money you give them to handle. That's what you pay. And as your assets grow, you pay more money. And as I've said till I'm blue in the face, you don't need to pay somebody 1% to come up with a portfolio for you. There are all these online tools that do a fantastic job building portfolios based on your age and situation and all that. And they're much cheaper than that 1%. But what if you do want some personal attention? You want help with portfolio? You want help with different planning? Like, are you on goal? What are your goals? Doing classic financial planning and being a fiduciary, which means that they are legally required to do what's in your best interest, with space brokerages don't want to do, and the insurance companies don't want to do. So you now have the option of another model. There are more companies than I realized until I read a Barron's article recently, where you can hire somebody for a flat fee, like you'd hire an accountant or a lawyer, and you pay them an annual retainer. And it's not based on how many assets you have. And you can pay them, the fees vary on how much services you want from them. So if you are just interested in them helping you look at what you're doing and telling you, yeah, no, maybe you should do this, that, or the other with where you invest your money, that's going to be a lower fee. But if you want tax planning, you want estate planning, you want to deal with making sure you're on target for goals, all those kind of things, you're going to pay more. But the thing that's interesting about this and the philosophy, I talked to several of these people when I was at the Bogleheads convention speaking last year, and I listened to the philosophy of people doing these flat fees. And their thing was, hey, you know what? We have somebody who comes in with $50,000. It takes us pretty much the same amount of time to advise them as somebody with $500,000. We take somebody with $500,000, compare it to somebody with $1.5 million, it's still very similar time. So why would we charge a percent of assets? We're just selling our time, our expertise, our guidance and advice. And so this is another model to consider. But remember this division with a difference. Whether you go with a 1% person, you hire a fiduciary at Vanguard for 0.3% or less, you go to somebody who's charging flat fees like this, always they must be a fiduciary. Fiduciary is a multi-syllable word. I don't do well with them. But what it means and why it's so important for your life, your future, and your financial security is a fiduciary is legally required to do what's in your best interest. Remember, the bank-based brokerages, almost always, the insurance companies, pretty much always, and some of the fee planners may not be fiduciaries, which means they will sell you stuff that gets them the free trip to Hawaii or gets them bigger commissions or helps them win the sales contest or whatever that has nothing to do with what's best for you. And here's the dirty thing you need to know about many of the bank-based brokerages. Their salespeople, I don't call them investment advisors, their salespeople will be given a notice, internal company notice, that they're to push this master limited partnership or this private placement or whatever. That's what they're supposed to push right now on their clients. Why? Because they earn giant fees for the bank, not for your benefit, for the bank's benefit. Be aware, even if that's a really nice man or woman you're dealing with at the bank-based brokerage, almost always, even if they wanted to sell you good stuff, they may be required to sell you junk.
All right. Phil in New York says, my wife is being offered through her employer a simple IRA with a company match of 3%. Her employer chose this company I'm showing you to run the program. It's a big one and they're not fiduciaries. I have been reading a lot of bad news about this company, including that they put their financial interests first rather than being a fiduciary and putting our interests first. Should my wife and I take part in this simple IRA when we both inherently don't trust and feel comfortable with this company as a plan custodian and take advantage of the match, or should we steer clear of this plan and miss out on the match?
Have they been told what the fees are?
Yes. It says, also, this company charges a yearly upfront loaded fee of 1.35% that never goes away. Very high in my opinion.
Oh my goodness.
I'm trying to determine if our investment will outpace the yearly fee or not.
That's a pretty high. So you got that just to breathe. Then you have all their high fees on their funds. And they're not a fiduciary. Wow.
Sounds awesome.
Wow. Your employer.
That's a tough one, right?
Yeah. So your employer wasn't trying to hurt your wife at all. Because remember, the largest contributor and beneficiary of that simple is the boss and the key people or family members or whoever own the business. So they are really being taken advantage of. And by reflection, so is your wife. But the employer obviously cares about your wife and the other employees, or they wouldn't be offering the match. So what I would do in this case, because it is a lousy deal that her employer has, I would put in the 3%, grab the full match, and not put any other money in this simple, and do your own investing elsewhere. Do your own Roth IRA. If you want to put more money aside, if either of you are eligible for an HSA, I'd love for you to do an HSA eligible plan and fund an HSA, a health savings account. If you want to do more, you'd be much better off in index funds with one of my low-cost favorite children than you'd ever be contributing more money to this simple.
Carolyn in South Dakota says, what is going on with Capital One? I have a savings account and CDs with them and attempted to open a new CD online, and the process was stopped with a screen that said I need to call them for more information. I was told I could only open the CD over the phone, even though I would be using money from my savings account. I prefer seeing transactions online, not talking to someone and hoping they don't make a mistake. They're an online bank, but now are not allowing accounts to be opened online.
So Capital One has both physical branches in some parts of the country and online only elsewhere. There's some hiccup, Carolyn, with your account, because you can go to Capital One, sign into your account. There'll be a button right there to buy a CD, to fund a savings account, all those things. So there's something going on specifically with your account. And if you're caught up in their web of bureaucracy, just open your CD somewhere else. There are financial institutions paying higher rates right now than Capital One is paying on their CDs. So just don't do it the way they want. Do what works for you, which may be establishing an account. For CDs, there's almost nothing. It's easy to open one somewhere else, open a CD account somewhere else and fund it.
Could it be if it's over $10,000? Would that flag it maybe? You know, because of that rule?
Well, I mean, but they know the source of funds. It's coming from an account she already has at Capital One. So I don't think it would be anything to do with the money laundering statutes.
Jake in Georgia says, my wife has student loan debt, nearly $50,000, but has a job with no retirement benefits. I have $55,000 set aside for a home down payment. Should I use some of this money to pay down the debt and help her contribute to a Roth IRA, or should I let the money sit? As a side note, I heard how Clark misses running in a previous podcast. I've been rucking, which I think is like having a backpack, walking with weighted backpacks. Oh yeah, walking with weighted backpacks for 3 years now, and I'm amazed at how it's helped me feel physically. Maybe he should give it a try.
You know, I like that idea. I see people doing exactly what you're doing when I'm walking. They're not carrying a backpack because they're hiking the Appalachian Trail. They're doing it just as part of becoming more fit.
You could wear a weighted vest too. I bought one of those for my son.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting, Jake. I'm gonna see if that's going to work for me. And you can steadily increase the amount of weight you're carrying, I guess, over time. That's a great suggestion. All right, now back to what you asked about. So this is one of those real puzzles, because what I don't know from what you said is how soon you were planning to use that home down payment money. So if it's really something that's a bit away, you could take money from it and put it towards the student loan debt that your wife has, because that carry cost on that $50,000 student loan debt is really bad, ugly, particularly if there are any private loans. So you could extinguish a fair amount of that. Dare I say, you could even, if you wanted to, if you're not buying the home for the next few years, you could wipe out the student loan debt, and then every month, the money that would have gone towards the student loans, you build back up the down payment account, because the down payment account is not earning, especially if there's any private student loans, it's not earning close to the interest that you're paying, that your wife's paying on the student loan debt.
And if you really wanted it, you could take out what you put into the Roth, just not the earnings.
Yeah, I love the Roth, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you start thinking about, in a situation with that much student loan debt, it could follow you for years and years and years and years. And it starts to hurt qualifications for underwriting for the mortgage because of that ongoing debt. So it's all a question of how soon you're planning to put that down payment mm-hmm. on the house. So if it's really soon, if it's within 2 years, nah, you really don't have a lot of move you could do here. But if it is something down the road, or you're willing to delay it some in order to eliminate that burden of the student loan debt, then that would be a really great priority. Now, if the student loan debt is federal loans, and they carry from the time your wife was in school, if they carry a permanent, really reasonable interest rate, then paying off the student loans is a much lower priority.
What would that rate be, you think?
I would say if the rate is 4% or below,
okay.
Some might say 4.5, somewhere in there, you would have no big rush to pay off those student loans. But again, I assume at that level of debt, you got some private loans hanging out there with a variable rate that could be really, really ugly. And in that case, paying off or paying down on the student loan balance becomes a priority. So the big unknown, the big variables I don't have, what's the interest rate on the student loans? How much is federal versus private? And how soon you want to buy that home? So coming up ahead, going to the dentist again next week, and I've been going to the same dentist for forever. I know this dentist. I know I can trust him. But a lot of times, you know, people move around, they go to a new dentist, whatever, and the dentist will make a lot of suggestions that I want to give you once, twice, three times things to think about what the dentist might recommend. That's straight ahead.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you can save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on credit worthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
Hey there, Don McDonald from the Talking Real Money podcast. Looking for a source of honest, consumer-centric financial help? While obviously biased, I think you'll find that Talking Real Money is what you're looking for. My co-host Tom and I have spent most of our careers helping people like you manage their money on radio, TV, and podcasts. Joe from Stacking Benjamins and Paul Merriman from Sound Investing both love Talking Real Money, and I'm pretty sure you will too. Why? Because we tell the truth about saving and investing based on decades of academic research, not a bunch of dubious hunches or mysterious premonitions. Talking Real Money is both a valuable education and a lot of fun. Plus, we answer your questions on almost every episode. So if you're looking for a better way to manage money and build wealth, look up Talking Real Money on your favorite podcast service, like this one. Ask your smart speaker to play Talking Real Money or go visit us online at talkingrealmoney.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
As I mentioned, I have been going to the dentist I've been going to for a long, long time. And if I go back in the Wayback Machine, it was a dentist I started going to in high school. The dentist was fantastic. And then he retired, moved away, sold his practice. So I kept going to that practice. I went twice more because the dentist who had bought the practice said, oh, well, you need this and you need that and you need the other and we need to do this and that. I was like, no, I'm not prepared to do any of that. And the dentist was trying to reconstruct my whole mouth, it seemed. So this was, gosh, 25 years ago, maybe more. So I went on a search for a new dentist after that, found the one I've been with since, and she's awesome, very thorough, and has never looked in my mouth and said, oh, we got to reconstruct this whole thing. I mean, like that guy in between was like, it was like a freeway interchange reconstruction job. I mean, he was going to redo everything. Here I am all these decades later. I've done normal cleanings and maintenance and repairs for things, but nothing gigantic I've ever had to do. And you can talk to person after person who, and there can be a range of differences and beliefs, but there's also people who will try to run up a bill on you. That's just a fact. And so what I want you to know is you, like with any other kind of healthcare, because I talk about it so much with medical care, but not really ever with dentistry, unless somebody calls us or has a problem or whatever, we hear about it in our team, Clark Consumer Action Center, what's happened to somebody. And we were talking about this in a meeting, and it's like, you know, this is something I should point out. It's not just medicine, you know, traditional medical care, dental care too. Second opinions are really valuable, and not because you might have a dentist who's not ethical and might run up a bill, which could happen, but that's rare. But there can also be extreme ranges of opinions about how to do something when there's something ailing you or there's some decay or whatever with your mouth, with your teeth, with your gums. So please, when you're in that chair, you can't talk because they have all that gauze in your mouth or whatever. And the dentist says, oh, well, what I recommend is you got to have these 8 things done. Say, thank you very much. Tell me more about those 8 things. And say, you're going to think about it and go get a second opinion. Everybody knows with medicine, before you go get cut, you go get another opinion, right? Why wouldn't you do that with your mouth? And remember, dentistry, even if you have dental insurance is pretty lame stuff. It doesn't cover a lot. It's going to be coming out of your pocket. So you got a dental / medical procedure happening in your mouth, and you got a procedure going on to your wallet too. So getting that additional stuff and having knowledge about what's going on in your mouth, that's important too.
We'll go to questions. This one's from Gary in Mississippi. My LG television recently offered a software update, which I initiated. After the update, there were new privacy policies where my content viewing was monetized by them. I had to accept all these new policies or my television was inoperable. Is there any workaround?
Gary, I got to tell you, my wife and I were at dinner one night and a guy came over and was so angry about this. He was red in the face. He was so upset that LG now is spying on everything you do as a customer, which is the thing in TVs. But what LG did, you already own the TV. They did the change of service, terms of service. And if you don't agree to allow their spying, there's no opt out. Your TV, even if you bought it a month ago, your TV is now worthless. This is crazy because I can understand a change of terms of service. Hey, we're going to spy on you unless you say no. But to then turn your TV into a brick, I just know at some point we're going to read that there's a class action against LG.
I don't think it's just them either. We heard a while ago from someone, I forget, it was a different brand of TV, did the same thing to them.
So, if they want to say selling me a TV forward,
Right.
That,
right.
Hey, you buy this TV, we're going to spy on you big time. Mm-hmm. And you have to agree to it to buy our TV. That's fine. But when I already own it, I already spent the money to buy it, mm-hmm. to then say, you agree to let us spy on everything you do, and we're going to monetize it. That's not okay. And that's a line that LG has crossed that is unacceptable.
Brent in Georgia says, how do I stop GM's OnStar from collecting my data and deleting any existing personal data?
So, Brent, I have good news for you. Between when this first became a scandal involving GM behind your back selling your driving data to in the insurance industry and people having their insurance canceled or rates raised based on GM spy data, GM now is no longer going to do so and is deleting the database that they were selling to the insurance industry. So you don't have to do anything now. And yes, there's already, speaking of which, there's already lawsuits against GM for having done this to its customers. What were they thinking?
Shauna in Alaska says, I follow the podcast, subscribe to the newsletter, and have submitted questions before. I appreciate all the amazing advice, especially from the podcast and even the Clark Stinks part. I'm auto loan rate shopping, and I'm cautious because I don't want too many hard inquiries with my stellar credit score of 835. However, when a hard inquiry was made by a credit union, the APR they were originally offering during the soft inquiry went from 5.89% to 6.29%. I had an excellent track record. Why did this happen? I have two mortgages, both in good standing. Could that affect the final APR offer? So far, that's also the first hard inquiry. I'm going against Clark's advice in regards to looking into a new car versus used. One reason is because buying a used car in Alaska can be risky due to the abuse a car takes running in Alaska's hard weather and driving conditions. However, I'm sticking to credit unions for my loan applications.
So I want to tell you, first of all, driving in Alaska is not for the faint of heart. It is very, very tough, rough conditions. So I understand why all used cars have a history, used vehicles have a history. And that history in Alaska could be much darker than it is elsewhere. So how did it go up the 0.4 of a point? I have no idea, and I would ask the loan officer at the credit union. Ironically enough, though, your credit score is almost a actually physically perfect score. You're a whisker from 850. So you qualify for their very best rates. And I wouldn't think that the mortgages you have, your outstanding loan ratios would have affected you on this. So I would ask, why did you go up that amount? In today's market, though, 6.29 is a very attractive rate for a loan. The auto market is soft enough now at the moment, though. The automaker itself may offer you a superior rate to what you could get from a small bank or a credit union. So go ahead and know that you've got the money available to you. Check with your credit union, see if you can find out why the bump up of the 0.40 of 1%. I think you're going to do just fine here looking for a vehicle. And I don't know anything about what the competitive environment is like buying a vehicle in Alaska. If you get rooked into paying more like people do in Hawaii, or if the pricing on vehicles is competitive in Alaska, but I don't think it would hurt for you to look in, you know, Montana, Eastern Washington State, whatever, and see if maybe there's a much better price you could get on a new vehicle in one of the extreme northwestern states where you could take that crazy drive back up to Alaska. Just wondering for a friend if it would be worth doing that. Probably not, but I'm just trying to get you the best price on the vehicle as well. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And what we're all about, you learning ways to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. And I'll see you tomorrow.